side as well. Whether it be a blessing of truth in His Word, or a blessing of His work in your life, or a blessing financially, or whatever it might be, or a blessing of healing, or whatever. When God does a work in you, it's not just for your benefit. He wants other people to be blessed by it as well. But we've got to extend it to them. We've got to share it with them. We've got to let them in on it. But I was thinking about that. So we got five things: grace, mercy, peace, truth, love. What other things do we experience from God that He expects us and even declares to us to share with others? I thought about kindness. I thought about forgiveness. I thought about joy. I thought about patience. I thought about the gospel. Aren't you glad you were given the gospel?
Yes, amen.
Well, He gave it to you, not only to save you, but for you to extend to others so they can be saved as well. But even a word of truth that God gives you from His Word, it's not just for you. He wants you to be blessed by it, but He wants you to share that with others. I love seeing on Instagram people that have put a verse on there that's blessed them. Because when I see that, it blesses me. Or maybe somebody sends out a text of something that they got out of the Word and it was a blessing to them, and it blesses me when I read that. Or somebody, even in praise time, they share about something they read and how it blessed them. That blesses me. I'm thankful when people don't keep those blessings to themselves. When God gives you something from His Word, when God speaks to your heart from His message, He doesn't want you to keep it to yourself. He wants you to share that with other people and extend the blessing to them. But there's another thing. I thought about finances too. Where does all of our gifts financially come from? It all starts with Him. He's the source of it all, right? And He entrusts us and He expects us to be good stewards of it. And part of that stewardship is sharing it in tithes and offerings and charitable contributions and whatever. It's not just for our consumption. It's for us to use to His glory. But I thought about something else too that we experience from God and we're told in His Word to share it with other people. And I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I've used this many, many times. In fact, I used it in counseling somebody this week. And the week that I was preparing this message, I used it in sharing and counseling with somebody, and it just dawned on me. Here's another one. God's comfort. God allows us to experience His comfort in our lives, but He tells us it's not just for our benefit. He wants us to share it with other people. He wants us to extend it to other people. Notice, if you would, please, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned last week, almost every one of Paul's epistles have that introduction. Grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like John, 2 John. In 2 John, he adds mercy too. But he says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort.
Amen.
Aren't you glad you have a God of all comfort?
Boy.
All the comfort you will ever need, He has available.
Amen.
All the mercy that your life will ever require, He has at His disposal. The God of mercies, or the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. But notice verse 4. Who comfort us in all our tribulation. That's a blessing, isn't it? He's the God of all comfort. And He uses all that comfort to comfort us in whatever we're going through. We talked about that this morning. experiencing God's peace, helping us go through the trials and helping us go through all of the trials in life. That's what that word means. It's perfect peace. It gets us to the end. But we've got to let the God of peace work his peace in us to get us through to the end. Here it's the God of all comfort, comforting us in whatever we're going through, all the way to the end.
Amen. That's right.
If we'll just turn to him and experience it in our lives, it's available to whosoever. He says, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them. Notice that. That we may be able. There's a purpose statement. One of the reasons God comforts us is that we may be able to comfort others. He wants us to experience it in our lives. And then he wants us to extend it to other people. It's not just for us. It's to equip us to help others. That's what the scripture is telling us here. He's given us this to equip us to help other people. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Whatever their other people are going through, God, if we will experience God's comfort in our lives, we can use that comfort to help other people going through what they're going through.
Right.
And notice this next statement. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. There is no ambiguity in that statement. The exact same comfort you experience from God, he wants you to use that and extend that to other people going through whatever they're going through to help them through it.
Amen.
It's not just for your benefit. It's not just for your experience. He wants you to extend it to other people. And then notice, it continues with this. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Why did Christ suffer? So we can be consoled. He experienced that and he extends it to us.
Amen.
But notice verse 6. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. So Paul is saying, Christ suffered for our consolation. I'm willing to suffer for your consolation. And guess what? You're going to suffer for other people's consolation. But how you're comforted by Christ, it's not just for you. Comfort others in their suffering. So when other people are suffering, they can comfort somebody else. It's not just for us to experience. It's for us to extend to other people. That is the Christian life that God directs us to in the Word of God. It's not just for us. Whatever we get from God, it's not just for us. We're supposed to be sharing it with others. We're supposed to extend it to others. Me experiencing it and extending it to those around me. So I want to talk about experiencing gifts extended to us from God, which is the first part of this text. It talks about God in verse 1, and it talks about God in verse 2, and it talks about the grace of God and the peace of God and the fact that God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, and he comforts us, experiencing his gift of comfort. But notice some other gifts, and I'm not going to go through all these verses. I've given you a lot of verses. I've given you a ton of homework this week. You do not have any excuse not to have devotions this week. I don't know where to look. You got a ton of verses. Just start digging in. You can go on all kinds of rabbit trails with all the stuff I gave you here, okay? But I've looked at every one of them. That's why they're there. All right, I didn't just randomly pick some verses. I've looked at every one of these. They're very fitting to what we're talking about. But God's grace. Aren't you glad you can experience God's grace? You wouldn't be saved. If you're saved tonight, it's because you experienced God's grace in your life. If you haven't experienced God's grace, you're not born again. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves, this gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You have to experience God's grace in order to be born again. But that grace isn't just for you. And it's not just for you to be born again. It's for you to share with others so they can be born again. Amen. Experiencing His grace. Thank you, Justina. See, in Acts 20, it talks about this. He says, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." We need to experience God's grace. But then in 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, "But God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." It's not just for us. God's grace is not just for us. It's for us to share. And in 2 Corinthians 9:8, it's talking about giving. I give to others and I experience God's grace to meet my need. So we need to experience God's grace. How about His mercy? Matthew 5:7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." See, we need to experience God's mercy in our lives, but we need to extend God's mercy to other people. It's not just for us. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Somebody does something mean or says something mean, and you say, "Why'd you do that? They deserved it." Wait a minute. Do you get everything you deserve? That's not a justification. Have you experienced everything you deserve from God? No. See, we need to experience God's mercy in our lives. We need to extend that to other people. Amen. You know, in Proverbs, it talks about how iniquity is purged. And it says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. We can't forsake truth, but we can't only hold to truth. We've got to show some mercy. So we need to experience God's mercy, but we need to extend God's mercy. And then how about God's peace? Aren't you thankful for God's peace in your life?
Yes. Amen.
But you know, if you're experiencing God's peace, you ought to be living peaceably with other people. You ought to be extending peace to people around you. The Bible does say, "As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." And you're not going to be able to live peaceably with other people if you're not experiencing God's peace in your life. But if you're experiencing God's peace in your life, it's not just for your benefit. He wants you to extend that peace to other people. The Bible talks about this in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. It says, "Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace. Always by all means, the Lord be with you all." May the Lord of peace give you peace. But it's not just for your benefit. Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talking to His followers, how He wants them to live. He says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Why are they called the children of God? That they're peacemakers. Because if they're the children of God, they experienced His peace in their life. And they're expected to extend that peace to other people and be peacemakers instead of troublemakers. I mentioned in Romans 12 about if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And as we experience God's peace in our lives, we ought to extend that in our relationships with other people and live peaceably with them. There's a lot of homes that would be a better place to live if they extended God's peace and if they extended God's mercy and God's grace to one another. But what about truth? Aren't you thankful for God's truth?
Amen.
Just think of where you would be if you didn't have this book. More likely, you would not be saved. And even if you were saved, you wouldn't be growing like you are. This book is so critical to your entire life, not only here on earth, but for all of eternity. Somebody once said an acronym for the Bible, basic information before leaving earth. This book gets you ready for eternity.
Yep, that's right.
See, the Bible tells us that the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. We need to let His truth help us temper our words. In Ephesians chapter 3, it says, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given unto me to you word. It's given unto me, but it's to you. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. It was made known unto me, but it's for me to share with you. As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. See, God has given me, and he's writing these words to the church at Ephesus, and he's saying, God has laid this message on my heart, and I'm writing it to you. It's not just for me. I'm extending it to you, and aren't you glad Paul extended it to us too? In Philippians 4, it says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace be with you. See, Paul is talking to the Philippian believers, and he's saying, you've watched me, you've learned from me, you've received truth from me, hold on to it, do it, and put it into practice and share it with other people and experience God's peace and share that peace with others through the truth of his word. The issue of love. How many times does God's word tell us to experience God's love in our life and extend it with others? The great command, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. See, the only way for us to truly love God with all our heart is to receive his love in our heart. And then we have a basis of love to love him right. But it's not just about us and him. We're to be extending it to other people. He also says to love one another. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. I've shown you how to love one another. And in 1 John, he says, God is love. And if you don't love others, you haven't experienced God. Because the experience of God's love in your life is to be shown in extending it to other people. Over and over and over, the Bible talks about this dynamic of God doing a work in me. A work of grace in me so I can extend grace to others. A work of mercy in me so I can extend mercy to others. A work of peace in me so I can extend peace to others. A work of love in me so I can extend love to others. But I can't extend it. I can't give what I don't have. And if I'm not experiencing it with God in my life, I don't have it to give to other people. And there's something missing on this earth. And what God's plan is for us, his people, to experience this with him and then extend it to others. And the problem is there's too many people calling themselves Christians and they're not experiencing anything with them in God. So they don't have anything to share. Then there's too many other Christians. They're soaking it all in and they're keeping it to themselves and they're being selfish like a 2-year-old and they're not giving it out to anybody. That is not the will of God. That is not the plan of God. He wants us to experience it and extend it to others. That is the plan of God. And then kindness. Go to Colossians 3. I want you to see this one. Colossians 3, verse 12, says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Notice that, experiencing it from God and sharing it with others. Experiencing forgiveness and sharing it with others. Experiencing mercy and share it with others. Experiencing kindness and share it with others. Aren't you glad God is long-suffering with you? Amen. Guess what? He wants you to be long-suffering with other people. He says, and above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. The peace of God ruling in you. To which ye also are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, and teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with singing in your heart. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. There you're extending it to other people. Amen. Amen. It's dynamic. It's all through the scripture. Go to Titus chapter 3. From Colossians, just go back toward the back of the Bible just a little bit further. You'll go through Thessalonians and Timothy and go to Titus. Titus chapter 3. Look at verse 1. It says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Where are they experiencing that meekness to show to all men? They need to be experiencing it from God, so they can extend it to other people. For we ourselves also were sometime foolish, disobedient. He's talking about before salvation. We were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Didn't he just talk about showing all meekness to people? And then he says, but used to, before we experienced that meekness from Christ, we had all malice and envy and hatefulness and hating one another. And then he says, experience God's meekness and extend it to other people. Don't live like you used to. He goes on in verse 4 and he says, but after that, the kindness and love of God. Experience God's kindness and extend it to others. Experience God's love and extend it to others. Experience God's meekness and extend it to others. After that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Experiencing God's mercy, washed by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through our Lord Jesus Christ. Experiencing it personally. Amen. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. See, we're to be experiencing it and extending it. Even the hope of eternal life, we're to experience it and extend it. Share it with other people. How about forgiveness? Aren't you thankful for experiencing God's forgiveness?
Oh boy.
Even in the model prayer, Jesus says, forgive others so your Father will forgive you.
Amen.
If we don't extend it, we're not going to experience it. But go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Notice verse 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's what not to do. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See, forgiveness, somebody says, well, I can't forgive somebody. Well, then you must not have been forgiven by God. Because if you've been forgiven by God, you know how to forgive somebody else. And if you've been forgiven of God, you ought to be able to forgive other people because you've sinned a lot against God.
Yeah, right.
Amen? See, we got to experience forgiveness, but God expects us to extend forgiveness too. It's not just for us. It's for us to extend. How about joy? God wants you to experience joy with Him, but He wants you to extend that joy to other people. In Romans 14, 17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. It's not just about our benefit. It's about us to extend to other people. Even in Romans 15, 13, it says, now the hope of the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are also of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. See, it's experienced in us and share and extended to others. It's not only for our benefit. How about patience? Aren't you glad God's patient with you? Guess what? He expects you to be patient with others. The same patience you experience with God, he wants you to extend to other people. That's a little challenging sometimes when you're a parent or a grandparent. And you get a little impatient. And you think, wow, I'm glad God's not that with me. See, we need to extend patience. It says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Experience it from God and extend it to others. It's not just for your benefit. It's for you to share. I mentioned the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, but they got to hear it before they can believe it. See, God wants us to experience it, but he wants us to share it. Same thing in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the same dynamic. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. See, he wants us to experience reconciliation with him through Jesus Christ, through faith in Christ. But he wants us to extend the ministry of reconciliation to other people. It's not only for our benefit, it's for us to extend to others. How about treasures? That money in your pocket or in your bank account. It's not just for you. It's not just for your bills. It's for you to extend to others. Proverbs 10:22, it says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Aren't you thankful that if you get rich God's way, there's no regrets? There's no guilty feelings associated with it. But the same's true with using it God's way. When you get it God's way, there's no guilt associated with it. But you need to use it God's way so there's no guilt associated with that too. Proverbs 19:17, it says, he that pitieth, that hath pity upon the poor lendeth to the Lord that which he hath given, will he repay again. See, if you extend God's blessings financially to other people, he will bless you again. Luke says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measured, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal, it shall be measured to you again. If you extend God's blessings financially to other people, God will bless you. He wants you to experience this so you can share it. In Proverbs 21:20, it says, there is treasure to be desired in oil in the dwelling of the wise, but the foolish man spendeth it up. This is why I believe a biblical budget is not 100%. If you're spending everything you're making, you don't have a biblical budget. You need to spend less than you're making. Think about that. There's a New Testament principle also. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, it says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him work, laboring with the hand that which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth it. So you work to gain, to use, and to hang on to so you can help. See, God wants us to experience his treasures in our lives to pay our bills and to meet our needs and to meet the needs of our family, but he also wants us to use those treasures to help others as well. Right. It's not just for our benefit. That's what 2 Corinthians, the whole passage of missions giving, that's what it's all about. Give what God has given to you. Share it with other people. Extend it to others. How about spiritual gifts? Your spiritual gifts are not just for your benefit. They're to be used and exercised in a local church. It grieves my heart when people use spiritual gifts to make money. They use the gifts God's given them to earn a living, but they don't use it in the ministry. That's pathetic. But there's so many Christians who do that. They have talents and skills that God has gifted them, and they use it for an income, but they will not use it for God. That's blasphemy. See, God wants you to experience those spiritual gifts with Him, but He wants you to extend them to other people. They're not just for your benefit. And just like our text in 2 Corinthians talks about, comfort. Letting God, you experience God's comfort in your life, but it's not just for your benefit, for the tribulation you're going through. He wants you to extend it to comfort others as well. Over and over and over, the Bible talks about this. Strength. He wants you to experience His strength in your life, but He wants you to use that strength to extend it to other people. Blessings. Daily, He loads us up with blessings, but they're not just for our benefit. He wants us to share them with other people. So I want to go to the next point in the message, extending those blessings to others from us. See, that comfort back there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, the God of all comfort who comforteth us in our tribulation that we may be able. He enables us to extend comfort to others as He comforts us. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. How? Just by sharing what He gave to us. What we experienced with Him, sharing with others. That's how. See, the God of comfort is the one who comforts us. And He wants us to experience that comfort because He's the God of all comfort and we're the ones that have the need. But once we experience that comfort, He wants us to extend that comfort to other people. When people go through trials, I say, you need to keep a journal of all the ways God comforts you. Because there's going to be somebody you're going to know going through what you went through. And you need to share what you learned with them because it'll help them just like it helped you. And then, so the God of all comfort comforting us that we may be able to comfort others. See, experiencing God's grace in my life, experiencing God's mercy in my life, experiencing God's love in my life, experiencing God's truth in my life, experiencing God's comforting in my life, but it's not just for me. He wants me to extend it to other people and help them to show love, to show mercy, to show grace, to show peace, to offer comfort to them through the truth of His Word. With the same comfort we receive from God, He wants us to extend to others. But we can't experience it if we don't receive it. See, we've got to receive it from God so we can experience it in our lives, just like salvation. It's available to whosoever, but the only ones who experience it are the ones that receive it. Right. Same thing with comfort. It's available to whoever's going through tribulation, any tribulation. God of all comfort can comfort you, but you got to receive the comfort. He's not going to force it on you, but you got to receive it. Peace is available. If you will keep your mind stayed on Him, it's available. You got to receive it. But when you receive it, it's not just for you. He wants you to extend it to other people as well. Every one of these things that we can experience from God, they have to be received. But once they're received, they're intended to be extended to other people. I think in your outline, there's a diagram. And that's what this looks like right there. Us experiencing these things with God in our vertical relationship. Us experiencing peace. Us experiencing comfort. Us experiencing love. Us experiencing healing. Everybody here has been hurt. And if you don't let God heal you in that hurt, you know what that hurt's going to do? It's going to cause you to hurt other people. But if you'll receive God's healing in that hurt and not get bitter, but forgive and get better, then you have something to offer people who are hurt. But if you don't experience the healing of God in that hurt, all that you're going to offer to other people is more hurt. But God wants you to experience His healing through His comfort and His grace and His mercy and His love and His power at work in you. So you've got something to offer other people. But don't be a stagnant pond. There are so many Christians, they are nothing more than a stagnant pond. Because it's all flowing in, and there's nothing going out. Don't be the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is a lowest spot. Everything flows in it, and nothing flows out of it. That's why it's dead. There's a lot of dead Christians. They're spiritually alive in Christ, but they're in practicality, they're dead. Because they're taking it in and they're not giving anything out. Don't be a stagnant pond spiritually. Don't let it be all about you. That's where a lot of Christians are. The idolatry of I need this, God. They get it. And that's it. I'm hurting here, God. God comforts them and they get it. And that's it. That is so idolatrous. It's not all about you. God's gifts are not all about you. They're for you to experience with Him and for you to give glory to Him because of them. And part of giving glory to Him because of them is extending those things to other people. It's not all about you, and it shouldn't stop with you. It should flow through you to others. Channels only. Blessed Savior. That's what we're supposed to be. Amen. Experiencing God's blessing and then extending those blessings to other people. That is biblical Christianity 101 right there. Sad thing is there's been people that's been saved for 30 years. They're not doing it. Don't be that person. That's not God's will for your life. That's not what the world needs to see in Christians. What the world needs to see in Christians is what we're talking about tonight. Let's go out there and do it. Let's pray.